Good morning. It's good to see all of you and to be here, to be able to be in the house of the Lord. And when I say that, I don't mean this building. I mean among God's people, among God's house. And if you're visiting with us, we appreciate your presence. Look out and I see several visitors, some familiar faces, some folks that we're meeting for the first time, but we appreciate you being with us today. I want to present a lesson on righteous judgments. That's the title of my lesson, Righteous Judgments. We live in a world that, in a society that is thought to be by many a very tolerant society. And what that means is, to many people, is I will tolerate you and your decisions so long as you tolerate me and my decisions. But sometimes that's as far as it goes. I think all of us have had a conversation with other people wherein something comes up about some decision they've made and they get upset by something that we say where they feel like we're judging. For example, a conversation could go something like this. Maybe you have a friend and your friend, and you have a mutual friend or mutual friends, and your friend may say to you something like this: I ran into Larry and Joan the other day, and they told me that they've decided to move in together, and it's going to be easier on them financially and everything, so they may get married in a few years, but for now they're just going to go ahead and move in together. And you may respond, well, how do their parents feel about that? Oh, they're cool. They're cool with it, which is just another indicator that we live in a very tolerant society. And then you might say something like, well, you know, God doesn't want people to be sexually active before they're married. And if they want to please God, they really should go ahead and get married before they move in together. And at that point in the conversation, you may get hit with both barrels, where the person says to you, who in the world do you think you are? You have no right to judge them. That's their decision to make. And after all, you say that you're a Christian, and don't you realize that the Bible says, judge not, that you be not judged? I think all of us have had similar conversations with people like that in our past. Well, for some people, this may be the only Bible passage they know. And it's always the go-to passage to answer anyone's question as to an objection that you may have about some moral decision that they've made. And it's kind of the silver bullet that will silence anyone that disagrees with anything that they say. But is their understanding and use of this passage correct? Well, that's what I want us to explore this morning. What is that verse saying, and what is it not saying? I think it's impossible to really understand what any one verse of the Bible is saying without looking at it in the broader context. And that's what I want us to do this morning. In Psalm 119, verse 160, it says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Now, when someone says, judge not that you be not judged, what they're implying is that that one short verse is the sum of all of God's teaching on that subject. But it's not. 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 4. One alone standing by itself is not the sum of that equation. Just like one verse of the Bible is not the sum of God's teaching on a particular subject. And so what I want us to do is look at this passage in Matthew chapter 7. I'll get it right in a minute. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be primarily in Matthew chapter 7 today. There will be other passages that we'll look at that will be on the PowerPoint, but we'll be primarily in this text. And so let's look at it and examine this and see if their interpretation of that verse is correct. Read with me, starting verse 1. Do not judge, lest you be judged. Now, Jesus said it, didn't he? I mean, that's what he said. So what we have to do is try to understand from the context what he means by that. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be open. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to you? Give what is good to those who ask him. Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? And do we not in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, someone has called this passage the passage of splinters, logs, pigs, and dogs because of what he says about, I'm trying to understand who the dogs and the swine are and taking the splinters out of eyes and logs and so forth. But is this passage an absolute prohibition against ever passing judgment or ever looking at a person's life and coming to a conclusion about something that they have chosen to do? Well, it can't be, because if it's an absolute prohibition against ever assessing anything in a person's life or coming to any kind of a conclusion or judgment, how can we know who the dogs are and the swine are in verse 6, or the judges, or judge who the false prophets are in verse 15? In verse 6 he says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine." How in the world can we know who the dogs and the swine are without drawing some conclusions, without making some judgments? Obviously, he's not talking about literal dogs and literal swine. He's talking about people who spiritually are dogs and spiritually are swine. And how can we beware of the false prophets who are in sheep's clothing and who are ravenous wolves? How can we know who these people are if we don't make some judgment with regard to them? We can't. So this text is not teaching an absolute prohibition against judging. And he goes on and tells us in verse 16 and 17 how it is that we can judge who the dogs and the swine are and who the false prophets are, when he says, "You will know them by their fruits." When we see the fruit in a person's life, that is an indicator to us about their life's choices. Now, there are two kinds of judging found in this passage. One of those Jesus condemns. The other Jesus regulates. One is righteous judgment, and the other is unrighteous judgment. And he cautions us in verse 2, "For in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." So we need to be very careful about how we judge. But the two kinds of judgment that are found here are righteous and unrighteous. And what I want to do is spend a few minutes looking at the unrighteous judgment that we need to be very careful not to do, and then we'll look at righteous judgments. Unrighteous judgments are self-righteous, they are hypocritical, and they are condemning. And they are for the purpose of fault-finding and making ourselves feel superior to others. And we need to guard against this. And I'm sure that all of us have been guilty of this at some point and on some level. I know I have. I confess that. I try hard not to do it, but I have been guilty of it. And I want to guard against it. When we do this, we are like the man who has a log in his eye, and yet he's trying to see how to get the splinter out of his brother's eye. But we need first to remove the log from our own eye to see how to get the splinter out of our brother's eye. And when we try to get the splinter out of our brother's eye, what is our motive? What is the purpose? Are we trying to beat him up, drive him down, make him feel like he's inferior to everybody else because he was caught in a sin? Or are we trying to encourage him and build him up and try to encourage him to come out of that sin? In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, Paul says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So when we do see a brother or sister caught up in a sin, and we want to go to them and talk to them about it, we need to do it in the spirit of gentleness, looking to ourselves, realizing that we are also vulnerable, that we can also fall into a sinful behavior. And we need to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. In Matthew 18:15, Jesus said, "If your brother sins, go to him and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." That's the point, isn't it? Isn't that what we're trying to accomplish, is to win our brother? We're not trying to play gotcha or beat him on the head with a stick. We're trying to win our brother back to the Lord. Unrighteous, self-righteous judging never accomplishes any good at all. I want to share with you an example. It was an illustration, actually, that I heard in a sermon many years ago. I can't even remember the brother that used this illustration in his sermon. And he told it to be a true story. It was about a sister in Christ who was downtown one day, and she was walking along the sidewalk, and across the street she noticed a brother in Christ who was a member of the congregation where she lived, walked out of a bar. She didn't go to him. She didn't talk to him about it. She just assumed that he was in there drinking. And I can't remember all the details. I don't remember if she talked to some other people about it or maybe went directly to the elders. But in either case, somehow it wound up, the elders knew about it, and the elders talked to this brother about it. And when they asked him about it, he said to the elders, "Yes, she did see me coming out of the bar. And as you men well know, I work for the phone company. And my job is to go around and collect the coins out of the phone booths. And that bar just happens to be one, there's a phone booth in there, and I have to go in there and collect the money, and that's, you know, a part of my route to collect the money." Well, this sister unrighteously judged this man. She had a log in her eye. What if one of us needed eye surgery? And we're laying on the operating table, and they bring a doctor in, and he's blind, and he's going to perform the surgery. We wouldn't feel real comfortable about that, would we? Well, when we unrighteously judge another person, it's like trying to perform eye surgery on them, and we're blind. We can't even see. We got to get this log out of our own eye before we can see clearly to take the splendor out of our brother's eye. And again, we've all done this. I know I have, and I'm embarrassed that I have, and I'm want to never do it again. I can't stand up here and say I won't ever do it again, but I don't ever want to do it again. All right, now let's look at righteous judgments. Again, judgments are not prohibited, but they are regulated by Jesus. In John chapter 7 and verse 23, Jesus said, "If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses will not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgments." The religious leaders of Jesus' day were upset with him because back in chapter 5 of John, Jesus had healed a man who had for 38 years been lame, and Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath, and they were angry with Jesus because he worked on the Sabbath. And Jesus is saying, "Wait a minute. You're not looking at this right. You're willing to allow a male child to be circumcised on the Sabbath so as not to break the law of Moses with regard to circumcision, but you're not willing to see a man made whole on the Sabbath, and you're going to accuse me of violating the Sabbath by working on the Sabbath? Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgments. And so let's examine what righteous judgments are and what our attitude and approach to judging needs to be in order to ensure that we do judge righteous judgments. Okay, the first thing that I'm going to suggest that I think is needful to make sure that our judgments are righteous is that our judgments cannot be based on our standards, but they have to be based on God's standards. John 12:48, Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. His words are what's going to judge us. In 1 Peter 4, in verse 11, Peter said, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God or the oracles of God. Translated means, say what God says, no more and no less. We have no right to say something about a moral issue or a spiritual issue of any kind, what our opinion is or what our thoughts are. It makes no difference what I think or what I feel. What matters is what did God say about that? We all recognize that there are standards. There are authorities that dictate what we have to do in life. Something as simple as a tape measure. When I hire a carpenter to come and frame a house for me, and I give him a set of plans, and he looks on the plans, and he sees that there's a wall that's going to start from that wall, come out 16 feet, and turn and go 12 feet, how's he going to know how to lay out that wall so that it's in exactly, precisely the place it needs to be? He's going to get out his tape measure, and we do what's called laying it out. You actually pop chalk lines on the subfloor to make sure that you get the wall in exactly the same place or the right place and it's the right length and so forth. But what if a carpenter says, well, I don't need a tape measure. I got a pretty good eye for where I think 16 feet is. We understand that's not going to work. When my accountant does my taxes and he does all the calculations and he gets to the line that says, you know, this is your taxable income and you owe X. X is what I've got to pay. I'm not at liberty to say, well, I don't agree with that number. I'm just going to pay whatever I feel like paying. But that's the way people oftentimes approach spiritual matters. They want to make the decision. And then when you challenge them on their decision, then they say, well, judge that you be not judged. You know, I'm calling the shots here. That's not the way it works. Our judgments must be based on God's standards and not ours. God is the authority on how we should live. Secondly, our judgments should be consistent and impartial. We can't judge one person more strictly than we judge another person if both people have committed the same error. We have to be fair and just. We can't overlook the sins of one person because they're our friend or they're a member of our family, and then nail somebody else to the wall for the same sin. And also, we cannot overlook sin in our own life that we see in someone else. You'll recall that when Nathan came to David and told him the parable, as it were, about the rich man who took the ewe lamb from the poor man to feed his company. And when David was told about that, he was furious, remember? Then David's anger burned greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. David could see the same sin that he had committed. He could see that sin in someone else. But at this point, he wasn't seeing the same sin in himself. And we all have that problem sometimes. We can see the faults in others, but we don't see the same fault in ourselves. And we need to be very careful of that. We need to be consistent and impartial. Third, we should not judge based on outward appearances. We've already touched on this slightly in John 7, 23 and 24 when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for not judging him rightly with regard to his healing the man on the Sabbath. But to just make this point a little further, in Proverbs 18, 13, it says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." We need to get all the facts before we come to a conclusion about a matter and not go off half-cocked, as they say. The lady who judged her brother unfairly when she saw him walking out of the bar, she didn't have all the facts. But what if we had a situation where one of us was walking down the street and a brother or sister walks out of the bar, steps out onto the sidewalk, maybe bumps into us. They have alcohol on their breath. Their eyes are bloodshot. They're staggering. Their speech is slurred. And if we said to that brother or sister, "Brother, have you been drinking? It seems to me like you're drunk." Would that be a righteous judgment? Based on the fruit that we're seeing in that moment in time, yes, that would be a righteous judgment. But should we go then and start telling everybody about it, or try to work with that brother or sister and say, can I help you in some way? Is this something you've been dealing with for a while, or is this just one time that you've done this? Or can I help you in some way to overcome this problem? In James chapter 2, he says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, 'Sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down here at my footstool,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives?" We need to be careful not to judge based on outward appearances. God loves that poor man just as much as he loves that rich man. And we need to value everyone the same and be careful not to judge based on appearances. Fourth, our judgments should not be in response to someone's having just judged us. In other words, someone comes to us and they point out a sin to us that we're guilty of, and they bring it to our attention. We shouldn't then turn right around and say, "Well, yeah, okay, I did that, but I know about you. I know about some of the stuff you've done. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't be judging me. You don't have the right to judge me." No, if someone comes to us and they point out to us a sin that we are guilty of, we need to do what David finally did do. At first, David couldn't see the sin in himself, but when Nathan finally said to David, "You are the man," David finally realized. And when he realized it, he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." When someone comes to us and points out a sin in our lives, we need to humble ourselves before God and humble ourselves before that brother or that sister and admit that we're wrong. David didn't turn to Nathan and say, well, yeah, Nathan, I did that, but I remember what you did last year. Remember that? I'm not saying that Nathan did anything last year, but, you know, that's the kind of thing that people say. Our light, and this is a quote from somebody, and I don't know who said it initially, but I think it's great. It says, our light will not shine brighter when we blow out someone else's. So if someone points out a sin to us, we're not going to shine by trying to point out their sins and blowing out their light. Fifth, we should be slow to judge. We should never be quick to judge. We should be slow to judge. But if we have to judge, make a judgment or assessment of a situation, we need to do it with mercy. James chapter 2 and verse 13, James says, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I am so thankful that the mercy of God has triumphed over the judgment that I deserved. And that was accomplished through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if Jesus was willing to, and if God was willing to show me mercy when I was yet in my sins, why should I not be willing to show mercy to a brother or a sister who's caught up in a trespass? We definitely need to be willing to do that. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19, Paul says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Christians, even faithful Christians, can sometimes get caught up in the deeds of the flesh. We may find ourselves at some point being envious of someone. We may be in a dispute with someone. We may have strife with a brother or a sister or a spouse or whatever. We are guilty of these things from time to time, but as Christians, when we see it and recognize it, we need to humble ourselves, seek God's forgiveness, seek forgiveness of the one we've offended, and move on. But those who practice such things, those who this is the way they live day in and day out, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So as we observe people, and we can't help but observe people, from day to day as we're around people in the workplace, at school, you know, our brethren when we're together, our family members, when we observe people, we will be seeing the fruit of their life. And the fruit of their life will be either the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc., or we will be seeing the deeds of the flesh as the fruit of their life. And when we see the fruit, that may cause us to come to a conclusion about maybe that particular deed of the flesh that they're involved in, or whatever. And there are times when we need to go to our brother or our sister. You know, Jesus said, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. When you see his fault, we don't go start talking to everybody else in the world about it. We go directly to that brother or that sister and talk to them. And if he listens to you, you have won your brother. That is the goal. It's not fault-finding. It's not gotcha. It's not a superior self-righteous, I caught you in this. No, it's to win our brother. And we need to remember, as he said in Matthew 7:2, For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So if you're judging people, if I'm judging people harshly with a self-righteous, fault-finding, gotcha attitude, if that's the way I judge people, then that's the way I'm going to be judged. If I'm judging people, on the other hand, with love in my heart and extending mercy with the intention and hope of winning my brother back, then I will receive that kind of judgment as well. All of us will be judged someday before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. When I am judged by my Lord on Judgment Day, I want merciful judgment. I want loving, compassionate judgment. And that's the kind of judgment that we need to extend to each other. I hope this has been helpful. That's my lesson. If you are not a Christian, you need to understand that you will be judged someday by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you do not come to Him and confess Him as Lord, submit to Him in baptism, and live your life for Him, not that you'll do it perfectly, because none of us ever do, but if you're not willing to do that, you will not like what you hear on Judgment Day. But for those of us who have named the name of Christ and are striving to do that and are faithful to the Lord, we will be glad to hear the judgment that we hear. Not because we deserve eternal life, but because He's promised it to those who are faithful. If you have a need and we can help you with that need, please come as we stand and sing.